How many have watched the TV program Ancient Aliens? Okay. Quite a show. They don't understand really what's going on. What they're describing as what happened is true. But they don't realize that there is God, Christ, the holy angels, Satan the devil, and the demons. And where they're talking about the ancient aliens, in most cases they're talking about demons. And so it's also setting up the world to fight Christ when he returns, because he will be labeled the aliens, and it's going to be, well, you'll have to come back for trumpets to go through that. But it's going to be an awesome thing. But the question is, who is Satan? And how did he become Satan? And how did he get so much power? Okay? Now, first of all, we read back there, he's deceiving the whole world. And the whole world is worshiping him. Now, why? You either worship the true God, or you may be a neutral ground for a little bit, or you're worshiping Satan the devil. If you're in the middle ground, you're in the world, and we will see Satan controls the world. Now, let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, page 1177. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, page 1177. Okay? Now, always remember this. In order to come to a truth in the Scripture, you have to go a little here, a little there, a line here, a line there, and you put it together precept upon precept, and you get the whole picture. Now, let's see how this interferes with true Christianity. Verse 1, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, having this ministry, according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. If you want to know what that amounts to in theological terms, go to TBN and jet planes. Not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Can you make the word of God say something it doesn't say, if number one, you don't know what it's talking about, and number two, you read your own interpretation into it? Deceitfully. And that's exactly what's happened in the Christian world. It's all been replaced with the traditions of men, and in the case of the Catholics, all of the rituals is Satan the devil. There is nothing Christian in Catholicism, except they use the name of Christ. But by manifestation of the truth, and we covered what the truth was, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. And if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age, that's Satan the devil, the God of this age, he is the God of this world. God the Father and Jesus Christ are not the God of this world yet, because men have wanted to have Satan run it rather than God. And all you have to do is look at the Ten Commandments, and that will give you a good understanding as to why. He has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. See? You must believe, you must obey, and you must serve God, as God says. Now, can you believe a lie? We read that they're going to believe a lie, right? Can you believe a lie with the same intensity as you believe the truth? Yes. And then you get to the point that you deceive yourself. You believe your own lies. Blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach our own selves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Okay? Let's come to chapter 11, just over a few pages there. 2 Corinthians 11, page 1181. Let's see how Satan works. He doesn't come to you and say, I'm Satan the devil, I'm going to kill you, I want to destroy you. He comes to you and says, ah, I have a benefit for you. Remember what happened with Adam and Eve? He said, I'll tell you a benefit God hasn't told you. You eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. You decide for yourself what's good and evil. He does it with everything. He's the father of lies. And especially in religion. And if you go to some of these Sunday-keeping churches, you're going to be turned off because it doesn't make any sense. You know? All right? I spend quite a time there, little sidebar. I spend quite a time watching TBN when we did the mystery of Protestantism. And it's pathetic. It is pathetic. See? Now, continuing. Right here, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 11. I would that you would bear with me in a little nonsense, and indeed do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? Repent, believe, be baptized, love God, love Christ, keep the commandments of God. That is the simplicity of Christ. You don't need rituals. You don't need Hail Marys. You don't need Our Fathers. You don't need a hierarchy ruling over you. You need Christ and God the Father ruling over you with His Spirit and with His Word. Now notice, even in the days of the apostles, just what Christ told them where we began. Beware, lest someone deceive you. That's why we have the Word of God, so we won't be deceived. Now notice verse 4. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. You know, today, what is the most sacred thing that people hold on to? Their own opinion. I believe, I think. And that's how they get themselves in trouble. That's why the Word of God is here. So we have the truth. We know what God wants us to do. God has preserved it. And when it's translated correctly, you will know the truth. And yes, there are some difficult scriptures that Paul wrote that are hard to understand. But those are all understandable when you love God and keep the truth and keep His commandments. Okay. Now let's go on. You put up with it as something good. But I consider myself in no way inferior to those highly exalted so-called apostles. Now those are the false apostles coming along. Okay? Now, Come down here to verse 13. Turn the page. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing as if his servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now let's look and see what power Satan has. And he's got a lot. See? And think of it this way. Let's come to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew 4, Matthew 4, page 962. Now, we'll get into the background of how he became Satan in a little bit. But he rebelled against God, wanted to become like God. Now, notice when, after Jesus was baptized, he had to go and be tempted by Satan the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. So let's read it here. Verse 1, Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Now why? Why? Because Satan is the god of this world, this age. In order for Christ to qualify as Savior, and to qualify to become the future king to rule over the world, he had to defeat the temptations of Satan, the devil, personally. And he had to do it not as God, because he could do it easily as God, not as an angel, because that still would be possible, but as a man, and as a man very, very weak by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So let's read it. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was famished. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." He probably added a few extra words. Just think how nice it would smell. Think how nice it would taste. And look at you. You're so thin. You've lost a lot of weight. You really need some food. You know, this reminds me of when I was delivering papers in the morning in Seattle. I always had to go by this donut shop. And they were cooking these donuts, and boy, you go by, ooh, man, that smells really good, okay? So you can imagine what Satan was tempting him with, see? He was coming with a benefit, see? But he answered and said, "It is written." Now, Christ is quoting what is written to all mankind, applying to himself. Okay? "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's found in Deuteronomy 8:3. What we have in the Bible is every word of God that he would speak to us if he were here. But he came and had it recorded so he wouldn't have to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But we have to love God, keep his commandments, believe his word, and that's what he's saying here. Now, verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him upon the edge of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Now, look at what this tells us. Does Satan know how to quote scripture? Yes. Does he quote it and misapply it? Yes. You don't tempt God by misinterpreting the scriptures. Now also another thing that's very important here. What if Christ would have obeyed Satan just once? Then Satan would have been elevated, correct? And Christ would have been defeated, correct? Yes. So Satan comes along and he says, "Look, God will save you." All right. Verse 7. Jesus said to him again, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And that's every time you read the scripture and misapply it. You're tempting God. All right? Now, here is the big one, verse 8. After that, the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And it says in Luke 4, in a moment of time. You can just imagine a great, huge screen like we have today. Okay? Notice what he says. "And said to him, all these things, everything, I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." He says in Luke 4, been given to me. How does Satan get possession or rulership of these things? By people believing him instead of God. That's how. Now you read this, all the kingdoms of the world. Doesn't this tell you why all the kingdoms are messed up? And war after war after war, and famine and everything that Christ talked about in Matthew 24, pestilence, earthquakes, all of these things. All of that is because Satan rules the world and people are following him. Now, how are you going to discern the difference? The law and commandments of God. The truth of what Christ is teaching. The truth of what the apostles have written. And this is for us. Okay? Then Jesus said to him, verse 9. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Because Satan wants to be worshipped as God. Doesn't that conform with Revelation 13 that we read? Yes, indeed. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you. Now, that's not referring to Satan because Satan's never going to worship God. That's referring to himself as a man. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Then the angel had to come and help him out because he was so weak. All right? Let's see some other things concerning Satan. Since he has all the nations, let's come to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6. Okay? Ephesians 6, page 1193. 1193, see, through false preachers, false doctrines, misinterpretations of the scriptures, ministers come thinking they're serving God because they're deceived, but they're actually serving Satan, the devil. Now, if you confront them with it, okay, let's ask another question. How do you know they are deceived? How do you know they're serving Satan? They don't have a sign out there, the First Church of Satan. Well, that's coming. Don't worry about that. Okay? Ask them about which day to worship on. Number one, just ask them. Which day is the Sabbath of the Lord today? They will say, well, the Sabbath is Saturday, but we keep Sunday because it was changed. A lie. Never change. Guess who is Lord of the Sabbath day? And guess who said he was Lord of the Sabbath day? Jesus Christ. He said the Sabbath was not made for man, that is mankind, but man for the Sabbath. Sabbath was not made for man. Huh? Yes. Yes, not man for the Sabbath. Okay. The Sabbath was made first. First thing God revealed to man. The Sabbath. Then Jesus says, therefore, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is Lord of the Sabbath. Mark 2:27-28. All right? Now, let's come to chapter 6, Ephesians, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We just read how wily he was, right? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the world rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. Stop and think. How come they never get convicted for gross and wretched sins that everybody knows is sin? Because who controls the elite and who controls the deep state in all government? Satan. But woe to you if you miss a few dollars on your income tax. Wiles of the devil. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And that's any day that evil comes along. Having worked out all things to stand. Stand for God, stand for the Christ, stand for the Word of God, stand for the truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, wearing the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and besides all of these, take up the shield of faith with which you're able, which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now think about all of the venues that Satan has to get out all kinds of sin. Okay? Start analyzing some of the ads on TV. What does he always have? Always has a nice-looking man, nice-looking woman. And this is a really good thing for you. Okay? May or may not be. Look at some of the images of the instantaneous flashes of images that go into the mind which sit there and develop sin. Think about that. Think about the movies. Think about the music. Think about the entertainment. All of that, hasn't it been shown here, who controls Hollywood? Yes, indeed. They even brag that they worship Satan. Finally, they're out in the open. Okay? And put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and in this very thing being watchful with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All right? Let's also see how he operates. Let's come to 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. Now here this tells us again how Satan works. What is in the world? He's the god of this world. 1 John, the second chapter, page 1137. Okay? 1137. Verse 15. No, verse 14. I wrote to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I wrote to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God is dwelling in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, overcoming is another description of being a Christian. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that is in the world. Now just think how this scripture is magnified today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Quite a thing, isn't it? Doesn't that describe a lot of the things we see every day? And that's why we need the Sabbath. We shut that all off. We come together. We study the Word of God. And we're refreshed spiritually every week. Okay? Now then, let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Back to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. And Satan is out there operating all the time. Okay? In a way, it's harder to be a Christian today than at any time in the history of the world because we have so many other things out there that weren't there couple of hundred years ago. Just think if you lived in one of the valleys of the Piedmont, where nearly everyone there was in the Church of God. Everyone kept the Sabbath. Everyone knew everyone. And it was peaceful and it was quiet. And the children were growing up. And as they entered into adulthood, they were baptized and so forth, and they had evangelists going out into other parts of Europe, and they were doing their part of evangelizing. And then, bam, here comes the Catholic Church to try and kill them. Today, it's different. We've got it right in our hand. How many here do not have a cell phone? You're lucky. I don't either. But it's right there, right? Okay. How many here do not have a television? Just one. How many here do not play the games on television or on your iPad? Okay. You don't play the games. Okay. Think about all those things. Now then, what is set up in the world to destroy the family? The cost of things are so high that mothers must work. What does that do? That leaves the children to babysitters while the mother's working, and then they go to school, and they're taught by the state school. And what are they teaching now? A lot of evil, right? What days do they celebrate? Do they celebrate the days of God, or do they celebrate the days of the world? They celebrate the days of the world. And what's the first thing they introduce them to? And I remember as a kid growing up, I look forward to Halloween because, boy, I'd come home with sack fulls of candy and all sort of stuff. And then I'd fill myself full and come down with the flu. You know, that's how flu starts. Okay, Halloween is introduction into Satan and death. Right? Then you have Christmas. What is Christmas? Oh, that's the birth of Christ. No, it isn't. He wasn't born then. That's the birth of a false Christ. Okay? Then you have New Year. Then you have Lent. Then you have Easter. None of those are of God. Let's try what's in the Bible. Sabbath, not Sunday. Passover, not communion. Unleavened bread, how to overcome sin in the world. Pentecost, when we will be resurrected as the first fruit. Trumpets, when the saints and Christ returned to the earth to take it over. And Christ was born on the Feast of Trumpets. He died on the Passover day. Okay? So then you have atonement. What's God going to do about Satan the devil? Well, everything about Day of Atonement tells us about that and how he's going to be put away forever. Feast of Tabernacles. That answers the question. How is God going to have a lot of people enter the kingdom of God because Christ and the saints will rule 4,000 years? And then the greatest secret of God of all, the last great day. And the last great day, God's going to resurrect all of those who did not commit the unpardonable sin and give them an opportunity as a second life in the flesh to have salvation. See? It's not like the Baptists say. I heard Jeffress, he's one of Trump's favorite ministers. So I watched him on TBN, and he gave a sermon of that if you are not in this church or a Baptist church, if you're out there in the world and you die, you're going to hell and burn forever. That is a lie. God is greater than all men. God is greater than all their lies. God is going to resurrect them to a second physical life for an opportunity for salvation. Now, how is that for justice and mercy and kindness? See? Those are the days of God. So Satan is out there, okay? Chapter 2, Ephesians, page 1189. Now you were dead in trespasses and sin, okay? Now think about this statement for a minute. Remember when the young man came to Jesus and said, "Oh, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go bury my father first." Jesus didn't say, "Well, I'm glad you love your father. Yeah, go ahead and go and come back." He said, "Let the dead bury their dead." Now, that's a very unkind statement to the politically correct. But that is a true theological statement, because if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are the walking dead who are still living. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, another name of Christ. Boom, boom. Have you ever gone along? I remember when I was pastoring down in Los Angeles, I had the whole Watts area, and I had the whole area going over to Santa Monica, which then included Hollywood. And I remember I was driving along, and all of a sudden, bang, here this most evil thought came in my mind. I wasn't thinking about that. I had nothing like that on my mind. And then I realized, hey, I'm driving into the area where there are probably a lot of these signals going on. Prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? Disobedient to what? To God. And if you're disobedient to God, guess who is your ruler? Now, people in the world never think of that, but this is what it's telling us. But notice verse 3, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Okay? But God, now here he's talking about how God reaches down and convicts some people to want to follow him, see, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Okay? For you have been saved by grace. That comes from God. So, this is how you come out of the world and understand how it is and come to the knowledge of God and then begin to have a relationship with him through his word. So there's a whole lot more to it because there's the whole Bible. But this will give you kind of a good thumbnail sketch. When you see all the evil happening in the world, know that it was prophesied. When you see those people doing the things that are not right, know that we're living in times that can be very difficult indeed. But you come to God through Christ, and you can have understanding and peace of mind.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.